Hey, to go. Siga Max Cavalera and Nasu Teliri. Hey, Max, hello, how are you? And actually, where are you now?
I'm in Los Angeles today.
Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Well, it's been like 14 months since your last show in Bulgaria, the Loud Festival, in June 2012. And as we've been following on Facebook, you've been pretty busy these days. Are you in the middle of the tour, or what are you doing at the moment?
Yeah, we're waiting for the tour to start. We wait for Savage to come out next week. We are starting a tour with Havoc in America and Canada in October. And then we come to Europe beginning of next year. It's going to be great. I can't wait to be back in Europe and be back in Bulgaria. And we had a great time at the Loud Festival. And we have a new record, which is really cool. I really love Savages. I think a lot of fans are going to love the album. And I'm just very excited to get back on the road.
Mm-hmm. Въпросът беше преди факта, че минаха 14 месеца от последното участие на Soulfly тук на Loud Festival в София през юли 2012. През цялото това време ние го следим във Facebook. Доста е зает. В момента как се намира там в Лос-Анджелис? По средата на турнето ли е? Той каза не, всъщност ние чакаме турнето ни да започне веднага след излизането на албума ни следващата седмица. Всъщност той излиза на 4 октомври в Европа, а пък след това тръгват на турне в Щатите и в Канада, а в Европа ще бъдат през началото на следващата 2014. Нямам търпение да се върнем в Европа. С огромно удоволствие бих дошъл отново в България, защото имахме наистина страхотни преживявания на Loud Festival, а пък и новият ни албум е много силен и съм сигурен, че ще го харесат феновете ни. Well, on Savages, you're working together again with this old shark, Terry Date. To what extent you can say that his work with you had given an extra dimension and extra power to Savages?
Yeah, Terry's a great producer. I think he's one of the best in the world, together with Andy Wallace. They are the top producers for this kind of music, and it was so cool to work with him. He mixed three of my old records, and we worked together with Deftones around the fur.
Mm-hmm.
But to do a whole record with Terry Date, it was amazing. It was an amazing process. I learned so much from it. And I think the sound of the record is my favorite sound of any Soulfly record.
Mm-hmm. Всъщност те сега работят с Terry Date. Аз казах отново, но на практика това е първият албум, който Terry Date продуцира за Soulfly. Знаете, той е правил албуми на Soundgarden, на Pearl Jam, на Pantera, на 24/7 и така нататък. Всъщност Макс ми припомни, да, работихме преди, но той тогава смесваше три наши албума, Dark Ages, Prophecy и три, заедно с Andy Wallace. Той е най-якият продуцент за тази музика. Любопитно е всъщност, че наистина това е най-якият саунд, който можехме да очакваме. Actually, this is the first time that your son is performing in Soulfly on an album in a full-time capacity. What is to be in a band officially with your sibling? I know that you guys have been traveling as a family, as a tribe together for years, but do you think that he is feeling the real responsibility that he has?
Yeah, I think playing with Zion to me is very similar to playing with my brother Igor, and when I was in Sepultura, and there's a big connection. And I think he plays really similar to Igor, and I think because of that, I feel this connection. Plus, it's family, so I'm used to that because I played my whole life with Igor, which is family, and playing with Zion, which is also family. For me, it's natural. It's a natural thing. But he is becoming a great drummer. He's only 20 years old, and he did amazing on Savages. He really impressed me on his drumming, and I love what he's doing with Soulfly. He's doing a great job. Everybody in Soulfly is very impressed with him. And we're very very pleased and proud to have him come and join the band with us. It's a great thing for Soulfly.
But from his perspective, how do you feel as a father? Does he have like... do you think that he had moments of being nervous?
Yeah, of course he's nervous, and you know, he was... very intimidated by working with Terry Date, that has done all these amazing classic albums, you know. But I was really encouraging him to just be himself and have that hunger for music that young people have, that I had it when I was 20, and he has it. And I love his energy. When he plays, he brings a full amount of energy to the band that was not there for a long time. And when Zion joined the band, all this young, new, raw energy came back to Soulfly, and that's what I love about playing with him.
Това е първият албум на Soulfly, в който синът на Макс Зайън Кавалера свири официално като пълноправен член на групата зад барабарите. Дали осъзнава всъщност отговорността, която тежи над него? Аз съм адски щастлив, защото усещам по същия начин тази енергия, която през всичките тези години, когато свирих в Сепултура с брат ми Игор. Той е също естествено част от нашето семейство и за мен това е страхотно. Още повече, че макар и само на 20 години, той е страхотен барабарист и ние всички в Soulfly много се радваме от това, че с нас, аз казвам, да, ама той притеснява ли се? Всъщност нервен ли е, изписва ли някаква треска от това, че свири в една толкова голяма група? Той каза, о да, даже се притесняваше много от това, че се запозна и работи с такава легенда като Тери Дейт, който е правил толкова класически албуми, но аз го окуражавам да бъде себе си и всъщност тази сурова енергия, която има той като 20 годишен музикант, ми напомня на онази енергия, която аз самият имах като 20 годишен. Well, last album, the previous one, Enslaved, last year, Plato Plomo, was a very, let's say, emblematic song with this personality. And you told me about that. Somehow it had inspired you to start writing your own autobiography. Is there one of the 10 songs here on the new record then that has a similar impact, that is dedicated to another big personality?
Yes, we have one song on the new album called El Come Gente, mm-hmm. which means the people eater, and it's the story of very underground story that we found, me and Tony found it on the internet actually, about this cannibal Vargas, that was a Venezuelan guy that ate like 10 people and used to make soup with people's eyeball and yeah. used to do it. Yeah, he would hit people with a big metal tube and then drag them into his little cabin and then eat them, you know. So the guy was insane, and it was too good to pass the story to not turn into a song.
Yeah.
So me and Tony did it again. I sing in Portuguese, Tony sings in Spanish, and he had two nicknames, El Come Gente, the people eater, and Hannibal Lecter of the Andes.
Uh-huh.
Because it was near the Andes region, the mountain of the Andes.
Yeah.
And
you said Venezuela,
it's a
right?
Amazing story. I think it's it could be a great B movie if somebody ever made a B movie of this character. You know, it would be amazing. But me and Tony turned into a song called El Come Gente, and it was great. And it was like. We made it to like 8 minutes actually, because we have Mark do a whole outro that's like 3 minutes long, very folk, flamenco, Led Zeppelin kind of outro, kind of like very melodic. Actually, when you listen to the outro, it puts you right on top of the Andes, flying on top of the Andes when you listen to it.
So when I play the song now, I'm gonna get high, right?
Yes, after you eat a bunch of people, you get to fly across the mountain.
Фантастик. Миналата година в предишния албум те имаха една много емблематична песен, посветена на Пабло Ескобар. Плата Опломо, знаете, е много добре. Има ни песен с такъв заряд тук. О, да, има една, казва се El Come Gente, която всъщност буквално преведено означава този, който яде хора. Всъщност това е истинска история за един канибал, казва се Варгас и е от Венецуела. Историята беше толкова добра, че нямаше как да я пропуснем. Написахме заедно с Тони Кампус. Тони пее е испански, аз пее на португалски. Освен това, в началото има една интродукция, много яка, стил фламенко, Лед Зепелин от Марк Ризо, а накрая има един такъв страхотно, едно страхотно аутро, което те изстрелва направо на върха, даже над Андите, защото всъщност на Варгас, Ел Коменхенте, другото му прозвище е Ханибал Лектър от Андите, планините Андите, разбира се. Това би било страхотен сюжет за B-movie, за B-film, който всъщност може би някога ще се получи. Two more questions to go here. The thing is, Neil Fallon, the great guy of Mighty Clutch, has a guest appearance on a song called Ayatollah of Rock and Roller. The question is, a couple of days ago, we heard that Clutch were forced to postpone several dates now in the United States because Neil has to go on some surgical stuff, surgery on his back, because he has this stenosis that Tomaraya of Slayer and Mustaine of Megadeth had because of too much headbanging. You, being in the business for years, do you have any pain on your back because of too much headbanging?
I don't feel too much. I think that when we go on tour, the first 3 days always hurt. My head always hurt. My back hurts. But then after three, it's only the first 3 days just to break the ice. Mm-hmm. After that, I'm fine. I'm actually surprised to hear that because. It's crazy to think that from headbanging you can get those kind of diseases, you know, and it's actually pretty shocking. But I thank God I never had any problems with it.
Well, I keep my fingers crossed for you, brother, because you never know. Въпросът беше преди факта, че в една песен, която предстои да слушаме сега, казва се Ayatollah of Rock'n'Roller, в която участва и Нил Фален от Клъч, който, както ви съобщихме преди няколко дни, прекъсва турнето си, защото трябва да си оперира гръбнака в шиирите пресени, да му сложат в три пресена една титарова пластира, защото и той, като Арая от Slayer и Мъстейн от Мегадет, твърде много хедбенгинг самия. Макс Кавалера дали има такива проблеми през годините. Преди факта, че от много отдавна се занимава, той каза, аз съм адски изненадан да чуя това. Обикновено, когато започнем турне, само първите 3 дни ме боли, защото се наместват нещата, боли ме главата и така нататък, но наистина адски странно. With this title, Ayatollah of Rock'n'Roller, what do you think is gonna happen in Syria? Will the Americans go there?
I really don't know. I mean, it's a big mess. And one thing I want to make clear, the song is not Islamic in any meaning or form. It's taken from a movie, Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a phrase from the movie that one guy says in the middle of the movie. And I just heard they have the same phrase in Heartbreak Ridge with Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy said the same thing, I am the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller. I thought it was a really powerful sounding phrase, and I just didn't do it with any Islamic connection or any ties to Al-Qaeda or anything like that.
Yeah, I didn't say that, that there is any political stuff in that song. There was when I saw the word Ayatollah, of course, it rang me a bell, because you've been always you've been always very sensitive on what has been going on the world of today, especially coming from Brazil, of course. So what do you think? Because it is the biggest issue nowadays, or looks like.
I think NATO needs to interfere because that's their job, and I think people get very scared and apprehensive when American troops get involved because what they saw in Iraq and the whole violence and the abuse of people and some of the military, American military tends to be just, really brutal. And I think people get very nervous about having them going there. But I think NATO is their job to step up. And if they are using chemical gases in these people, killing all these people, then it's just off, man. That's not right. Exactly what I'm calling the album Savages. it's this is the point I'm making, that
mm-hmm.
we're going in technology and the future and the progress, but you have things like this, like gas, chemical gassing 1,400 people. In this day and age, it's absurd. You know, it's insane, and it's why I call the album Savages, just to tell the world that we are still savages. We're still acting like barbarians. You know, so I hope NATO interfere and get involved and stop this, and do whatever they have to do to make this killing, this bloodshed stop. You know.
Mm-hmm. Last question is, and I will translate to the audience this after we're finished. Please tell me, since Zion now is in the band, and I'm sure that you and Gloria, you don't have to make for him belts with batteries instead of bullets, like your mother used to do for you and Igor. Do you envy?
Right.
Do you envy Zion for that, or you think that Zion should envy you?
It's a great question. I mean, it's two different worlds, man. You know, the world we grew up, me and Igor grew up in, was a different reality. It was no internet, and it wasn't in America. It was Brazil,
and no MP3s, no free,
no MP3s,
yeah, no downloads.
No, none of that. We're flat broke. We're pissed off. And that was our alternative, was the batteries, to make us look like cool European bands, you know, to have the bullet belts. The Zion lives in a completely different reality of internet, MP3s, computer.
Everything's accessible, literally.
Yeah, you know, so it's different, you know. Although as I have heard from Zion, which made me very happy, that we offered them the Maximum Cavalera tour for Lodi Kong to open the tour, and Insight, and it's our kids, you know, band open
mm-hmm.
our tour.
Yeah.
And Zion came to me one time and it was like, yeah, I love this tour, but in the future I want to do it on my own. I don't want to have count on you guys to make it. I want to make it on my own. I want to make it with my drumming, and I really want to like do it myself, like you did. Like you made a name for yourself in Brazil on your own. I want to make that too. And I thought that was really powerful that he said that. I thought it was really cool for him to say that, because he doesn't want to clutch on that. He doesn't want, you know, be no. I mean, it's almost impossible to untie him from being a Cavalera, from not, you know, people always gonna tag him as a Cavalera, as my son. But he still wants to try to do it on his own, wants to prove the world that he's his own person, that he's a great drummer on his own, that he can hold his ground. And I think for that, I'm very proud of him. Very, very happy for him to take that attitude.
Well, it's not going to be easy to get out of the shade that you have. But basically, my question wasn't about that. It was, what do you prefer from your perspective nowadays? When you get back, do you think that the old ages, when both of us, you and me, grew up being very impatient for the next record to come out, counting back the days.
I thought it was more exciting.
Well, yeah, it was more exciting, and because you were fighting to make stuff accessible, like making your own bullet belts. Well, as I said, now it's easier, but it's more exciting. But would you exchange that pass from Zion's reality, or it's different for him? And it's different for you.
I wouldn't change it. I think it was a very exciting time. You know, you had to wait for the records to come out, and you go to the record store, and so I remember waiting for, you know, Motorhead albums to come out, and Iron Maiden albums to come out, and the day they came out, you go there and buy it and take it home and listen and be like, oh, this is so great, this is so cool. You waited all those months for the record, or the years, or whatever, you know. And all that's lost now, you know, with the internet, everybody gets the album before the album is out, and there's no more surprises, you know. They kind of ruin it. They ruin it for the whole thing, you know. It's, even like I don't know how kids even like just download the music on the computer and don't have the actual CD or vinyl, or, you know, don't have the actual copy with them. They're just happy with just having the songs in their computer. It's fine, you know. No artwork, no. I mean. It misses the point.
You just said it. They're happy with it. So probably.
Yeah, but they are happy with it. But I don't understand. I think. I think it was much cooler, you know, before.
that's because we're old farts, probably. All right. Thank you very much for this, and good luck with the tour. Hope to see you next year in Bulgaria. So say hello to Tony, and especially to Gloria, and thanks.
Okay.
Чао.
Thank you, man. Nice to talk to you again.
Чао. Thank you. Bye-bye. Макс Кавалера, между другото, последният въпрос беше свързан с това. Добре, де, преди факта, че майка ви, преди, когато бяхте деца, със сигур ви правеше колари като патрондаши и вместо истински патроли, всъщност, вътре слагахте батерии. А сега твоя син Заян, естествено, има всичко. На него му се налага вие да му правите такива неща. Ти ли му завиждаш или той трябва да ти завижда? Тук Макс много надълго и да широко каза, че това са две абсолютно различни реалности. Едното е Бразилия, в което не са имали дори много и музика, не са имали нищо наистина, затова са си направили тези патрондаши. Майка им е помогнала, за да бъдат готини като европейските групи, докато още повече, че нали, това се случва в Бразилия, докато Заян е израснал в Америка, има абсолютно всичко. Всъщност, якото е, че когато той е бил на турне с Инсайт, нали, децата, които са пътували заедно с Максимум Кавалера турнето, в един момент Заян е отишъл и му казва: виж, много е готино това, което правиш за мен, но аз искам да оценявам себе си, т.е. не да оценявам себе си, а да работя сам за себе си и хората да ме оценяват не заради това, че съм твой син. Ясно е, казах аз, че няма как да излезе от сянката ти, Макс. Той наистина е страхотен барабанист, но аз по-скоро питах за друго. Дали времената от едно време, когато нямаш MP3 и ти чакаше и броеше дните до излизането на един определен албум, е по-готино, отколкото настоящия момент. Той каза: бе, даже не ги разбирам младите. Спомням си на времето колко беше яко. Броях дните, докато излезе албум на Motorhead или на Iron Maiden. Купувах си го, слушах го по цял ден и беше вау. А сега младежите само си свалят албумите от интернет и дори даже не знаят какво да имаш диск. Аз му казах: да, може би всъщност проблема е, защото те са доволни с това, което получават. Проблема е, че ние сме стари пръдлювци. Връщам се към темата за въпросът ми Аятолаха в рок-н-рола, парчето, в което участва Нил Фалън от Клъч. Макс Кавалера каза, че това няма нищо общо, разбира се, с ислямски неща. Това просто е една реплика от филма Мед Макс. След това я е чул и в един филм с Клин Иствуд. Аз съм Аятола на рок-н-рола. Аз го питах: какво ще се случи в Сирия? Той каза: не знам, братче, обаче според мен НАТО наистина трябва да се намеси там. В Америка много се притесняват, не става дума за Америка, трябва да се намеси НАТО, защото това е тяхната работа. Американците се притесняват, че ще изпратят войски, които ще загинат, обаче НАТО наистина трябва да се намеси, защото не е възможно в 21 век да се избиват хора. 1400 души умряха от химически оръжия. Аз всъщност за това съм кръстил и албума ни Savage из Диваци, защото ние хората сме все още варвари, диваци, а това не може да продължава. И всъщност това ме подсеща, че ето тази песен, която започваме да слушаме сега, която е вдъхновена и посветена на Дор Анхел Варгас, този Ел Комехенте, се казва песента, Ханибал Лектър на Андите, венецуелския сериер убиец, който си правил супал точните ябълки на своите жертви. Той също очевидно е нещо повече от дивак. Soulfly и Макс Кавалера в Tangram Metal Shock по радио Tangram Mega Rock.